Hey kid, you looking for answers? Wrong stop. But if you're into messy stories about addiction, mental health, and the side of life that no one else wants to discuss, come, stay a while. This is Malfunction Junction. I'm Andrew. That's Jay. We're just two guys trying to figure some shit out before the next bus rolls in. Sit tight. Might get weird. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
And we are here back in the studio in Inglewood here, hanging out. We are happy to both be back here in the studio.
Yes, finally doing it again here.
Yes, first time in the past couple weeks. It's all good, though. We figured it out. We're going to get back to you guys on a more regular schedule.
Damn right.
And, not that even I the only one I missed was this last week. I got one out today. We're recording today, Tuesday. I recorded a solo episode today and just put it out.
Nice, good.
And
got something.
Yeah, and
keep the fans fed, dude.
Yeah, got to. You have to keep going with it because it's even if it's not a crazy amount of people out there.
We care about each and every single one of you.
All of you guys. Especially shout-out listeners in D.C. We got our listeners in D.C. have been tuning in every episode. And we have another shout-out in listeners in Jordan.
Nice, dude. We got some in the Middle East, too.
We do.
Fuck yeah, dog. Yeah, Middle East. We've hit...
I think it's like...
every continent but Australia... well, obviously, no one in Antarctica. But we've had them in Asia. We've had them in Africa. We've had them in Europe. Do we have any in South America?
No.
Did we have one in Brazil?
No.
Brazil.
No, I don't think we have any in South America. So I think we're in four continents.
Plus the subcontinent of fucking the Arabian Peninsula.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that if we get to seven continents, which we won't because no one's going to... I mean, Antarctica is probably pretty difficult to get there.
Yeah, that's tough.
We
can take a trip and listen to it by ourselves. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
I'm good off that, dude. I've never had any interest in visiting all seven continents.
You don't want to play with the penguins?
Six. There are only six, dude.
All right, look, I get Africa is not.
Jesus Christ. All right, and anyway, shout out listeners in D.C., shout out listeners in Jordan. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Get right in here. Go into our weekly check-in. Jay, how was your week this last week?
It's been pretty brutal, not going to lie. I was sick for about a week and a half, violently sick.
Yeah.
Bedridden, coughing my brains out every day. Legit thought a piece of my lung was going to fly out one of those times.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was rough, man. And then during that whole process was as I was taking over the manager position, which is sick. I'm glad to have gotten that opportunity and hope to do well with it. But it was right at the same time as not being available.
Right.
So there's a lot of shit I had to do. There's a lot of shit I still have to do. So it's been a pretty stressful couple of weeks. Just playing catch up. I also moved. Right. So we finally got an apartment.
Nice.
Finally got into the apartment.
Let's get right on. Finally here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like having all of that at the same time was rough. Like I was dog sick, staying with a buddy, then needed to go to an Airbnb for a couple days until the lease started because he needed me out. So then I went up to Idaho Springs an hour away, then came back down, got the new apartment, started moving stuff in the apartment while trying to fill out all the management stuff, all at the same time as being the sickest I've been in a very long time. But we made it through. We're good now.
Sick.
And we're back to it.
Well, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Got a lot of new stuff coming up for the bar and obviously the new place. Going to start getting some more furniture. And then we got some new renovations and things coming for the workspace. So I'm excited. Things have a lot of opportunity moving forward.
Well, that's dope, dude. I'm glad. I'm glad that you're starting to get things back on track.
Appreciate it. What about yourself there, bud? How have you been?
Been pretty good. The past week was quite a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I have written down here quite a few things. We had Delano's cancer benefit was Delano, a friend of the show.
Yep, shout out the boy Hanky Panky.
He helped us definitely with that trauma battle episode. Mm-hmm. That was a clutch situation for him. Mm-hmm. And we had his cancer benefit on Friday at SRS Studios here in Denver. Pumpkin Hill Radio, the boys over there.
Shout out Dawson and the Worm.
They did a live show kind of thing, and I swear to God, I wish I had a soundbite of this. There was a moment where they went, where they were about to let out the first band, and they were like, all right, well, before we get going, we're going to do a little show, and we're going to tell you guys a little bit about cattle mutilation. Let's hear it for cattle mutilation. And everybody just goes, yeah. It was just, I wish I had a fucking soundbite of it, dude, because it was just like a whole room full of metalheads that was just like, fuck yeah, cattle mutilation.
Dude, I saw a couple pictures of them. They looked like satanic priests.
I took those pictures.
Nice.
Yeah, they fucking never give me photo credit on that shit.
Dude, I don't know. To each their own, but if I was doing a cancer bed, I'd be doing it in a church with four priests. I don't know. I would be doing bring out the 666.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I'm not fucking with that, dog.
Might have been a questionable decision. I don't know how it went. I hear, I guess it probably went all right.
I heard good things.
Good. I was there. The show part went well. I don't know how the benefit part went. I didn't hear anything about it.
Fair play.
But the show was cool. It was not my style of music, personally. Death metal type stuff, but metal in general. I like to hear the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't really hear the lyrics.
No.
But that's fine. I can do a pretty good pig squeal. Hold on, wait. Wait.
We got a road trip for the podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
That was crazy.
That's my pig squeal, dude.
Do they do that during the song?
Yeah, it's like a thing. It's like a part of a fucking...
That's wild.
Yeah. I heard two people the other day discussing metal, intricately. They were talking about how some people I was not in tune enough with metal to even, or even music enough to discuss it like this, but they were discussing metal I believe they were two musicians, and it was just I was sitting there going damn, I don't understand that.
No, listening to Ryan, aka my boss, talk about it is pretty nuts. His favorite song, or at least the one he consistently plays in the bar, is Suck My Ass, It Smells.
Yeah.
And he'll talk about the prowess of that band. And I'm like, I can't take them seriously.
But yeah,
you may be right. They may have an insane drummer. I wouldn't know, because I'm focused on the fact that the song keeps saying, Suck My Ass, It Smells.
It's disgusting. That doesn't...
I can't respect the musical... professional, you know what I mean, professionalism, yeah, of it, because I'm too focused on the fucking shock value. But to each their own. He really loves it, so
I understand.
He listens to that from 8 in the morning on.
That's wild.
Every day.
That's wild.
Nothing else, not a single other genre.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I listen to quite a few different things throughout the day, but yeah, anyway, speaking of Travis and the Pumpkin Hill Boys, we sat down with Travis to go over the footage this weekend.
Nice.
Took us about 6 hours of sitting there. It went great. Everything looks really good. I mentioned it on the one I released today, that on Tuesday, that it I think we've got something good here. It looks good, and I've started to get a rough cut going. Which, if you want to see any stills of that, anybody that's listening, they are on the Crucible Media Instagram.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, go check those out. Things are coming together. It looks good. It's starting to be edited. And speaking of that, we need more money. If you can fucking
donate. Is the donation link still up?
Donation link is still up. We need more money. We are trying to make sure that this film turns out as good as we can make it. And in order for that to happen, we need more money, which is the most uncomfortable thing to ask people. Hey, you want to fund my art project? But that's where we're going with, we're trying to get a trailer out so that that way we can be like, hey, this is what we got. And that maybe then that'll be more, you know, like
incentivizing
yeah. to donate.
Well, we'll talk about it in a bit, but if you want $1,000, I know a few places you can dig.
Jesus Christ. Well, give me one sec. I the last thing that happened this week,
mm-hmm.
I received my diploma.
Fuck yeah. Hit the button.
Oh, yep. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the one.
I sold my soul and $45,000.
Squeak, squeak, slave to the rat race, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go get a job yet, so that's fine. I'm just doing that myself and not making any fucking money.
Your rat race without the cheese.
Yeah, without race, no cheese, play it.
Yikes.
Yeah. Not fun. But, can I hit that? Yeah. I'm going to need that to fucking wash down that fact.
Mm-hmm.
The diploma was, it was a weird feeling to get that. I didn't know, I posted about it on like Instagram and Facebook, I think, on just my personal page, but it was weird getting that because I never really thought that, number one, that I would like be like excited to get that and that I'd be proud of myself for receiving that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty fucking stoked on that when I actually, when it actually got there. And, yeah, it was dope. It was a nice feeling. I am not necessarily stoked about the $45,000 I'm in debt now.
No, that's rough.
That's a rough one.
You'll make it back. Don't even worry about it.
I mean, like, yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess. We'll see.
One of these days.
Who knows? Yes, clean, but still a mess here. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Well... You know, there's been a few things that I did this week that were less than ideal.
Yeah.
The standout of the week is the somewhere between $900 and $1,200 that I threw out, meaning literally threw into a trash can. Now, which one, I'm not sure. I haven't figured that out yet. So I haven't been able to look through because I have a dumpster at the complex.
I'll just let you keep going. We'll eventually hit it. We'll just
hit it.
Yeah. That's just brutal, dude.
Yeah. So my car is perpetually a mess.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Better now. But I'm really bad with money and I'm always bad. I lost my wallet a while ago. Mm-hmm. Turns out it was in my center console the entire time. But I never really put it in there, so I didn't think to check there.
Sure.
So every time I just have, like after I get tips or any of their cash I have, if I have a few $100, I just throw it onto the passenger seat.
Jay.
Or I throw it into a bag or
Jay,
something.
Jay, there are just so, why don't you?
And so
you
I
could
just,
do so many other things with that.
Or I just toss it in.
Are you rolling in money so much that you don't need to fucking put $100 into the... Dude, when I get it, when I have like $50, I put it into a fucking safe.
Yeah,
I don't. I think about like I think about it like I don't want to touch this. I'll think about this later.
No, I just I was throwing it on the side.
Yeah,
I keep finding
you know, safes
money
are like
places.
You can buy little electronic safes on Amazon for like $25.
Yeah, well, I didn't, and it was sitting in a pile of trash, and I threw out everything. And I think it's in the dumpster by work, but that one went out the next day, so...
Fuck.
Yeah.
That sucks ass, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, man.
That's a brutal one.
Because I was checking through my... I thought maybe I added it to the bankroll I have at my house... Yeah. And then I looked through and I counted it and I went, no, that's not right. That's not right at all. I think I'm missing about $1,000 here. And yeah, it was in that pile.
Damn. Well, some homeless guy is going to buy a whole lot of fentanyl.
Yeah. And I hope it's good fent.
I guess I do too.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're gonna use it, if it's good enough,
Fat, you may end up getting that money back.
Yeah, exactly.
You may end up finding him somewhere out by the coffee
bar. Just with a wad of cash in his hand.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. A lot of fentanyl, and you gotta flip it back over.
Mm-hmm. Either way, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
No, it's Denver, bro. Cops are chill.
Not with fentanyl.
They're like, is that fent? Oh, no worries. My bad. I thought you misgendered someone. Have a good day.
Straight up, dude.
I thought we had a serious crime on our hands here. Yeah. No worries. Yo. Yeah. Is that the new brand of needles? Fuck yeah, dog. Good luck.
And as long as we're on the subject.
Bang.
Because the cops will come and get us for joking about misgendering someone.
We would never.
We would never joke about misgendering someone.
I mean, I legitimately wouldn't intentionally, but it is kind of funny as a concept to be like, did you forget the S in front of that he? You're going to fucking jail. Like that's kind of funny. It's just the idea that, like, it's like some Orwellian shit.
It's 100% Orwellian. I saw some quote today.
Like, it's fucked up to do. I wouldn't support anyone doing it.
Well, I think any speech thing is absolutely bonkers to.
Yeah, it's like you shouldn't use slurs at people either. But no, like,
you shouldn't use slurs.
You shouldn't go to jail for a slur. That's weird.
Yeah, it should be a societal thing. Yeah, you should be shunned. You should be shunned. I saw some Orwellian thing that was like a quote that basically said, like, one of the signs of this takeover, I'm just butchering this delivery, but it was when you will be told to deny the truths that you have been seeing with your eyes and your ears, and hearing with your ears. And it's
speaking of Trump and the Epstein files. What are we doing here, brother?
Oh, bro,
Cheeto boy is fucking up right now. Real bad.
Real bad.
Aside from the big, beautiful bill, which, go fuck yourself.
Dog.
There goes National Parks. RIPZ. We'll just sell that out to another corporation. What are we doing with the files, dog?
What are we doing in general?
Your attorney general came out and was like, yeah, we got all the footage. And then your fucking FBI director was like, I mean, don't you think if I had it, I'd give it to you? Like, what? I would think so. Not really, though.
But at the same time, no, I don't, because I don't trust you.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, yeah, that would be the logical implication, because your attorney general already said you have it and you've seen it. And they're like, I mean, if I had it, wouldn't you see it? It's like, I guess. But you have it, so just show it or don't. But why are we pretending here? And then Trump got pressured enough. I think he said he was going to. We don't want to re-victimize the women. What the fuck was that about? Well, we're not going to put out the videos and lists of all the horrific crimes these people have committed.
Now, look, I hate to hate on this particular thing he said, because I too do this and it works. But Trump is not like, we're not, this is the guy that said grab him by the pussy.
Yeah.
So it's like, these aren't the ones that, like, he's not like worried about these bitches' fucking heart. Yeah. He's not worried about their, like...
Yeah, he's not concerned about the emotional well-being of women.
No, he's not.
Let's not pretend.
I don't think he's concerned about the emotional well-being of men either.
No.
I think he's concerned about winning. We got to do the best, the biggest and the best.
I wouldn't want them to have to go to therapy. Yeah, no, he's not doing that.
He's not doing that, dude.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Almost surely it's because his name is on the list multiple times.
It made me...
Almost 100%
guaranteed. It made me, and I'm not saying that this is who I voted for. We can fucking, you can guess a million things of who I would have voted for. I'm a registered libertarian. But it made me finally go,
Chase,
like,
Oliver guy, huh?
Fuck Chase Oliver. fucking Oliver, dude. Fuck that guy. Anyway, it made me go, you know what? I'm never voting again.
Yeah, what's the point? You're just going to hide everything you do wrong?
Well, and it's like, it made me go like, oh, so, yeah, no matter who you vote for, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you voted for the guy that lost, you're wrong. If you voted for the guy that won, you end up being wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is no winning there. So at this point, I'm just going to take the fact that I think that my baseline opinion about how America should work is leave me alone and I will leave you alone. If you have to, unless we are going to form some sort of bond and friendship type thing that we're going to work together on something, then we don't have to, like it's truly based all the way based down to, you know, as long as you're not harming somebody else, like, I do not care what you're doing. Why do you have to care what I am doing? That's my baseline view.
Yep.
And that's not where we're at now. And like, everything has been sold over the past however many years of, like, well, the other side is doing this. And it's just like... Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. The whole thing's fucking exhausting. I've been, like, yelled at a couple times. Yelled, that's a strong word. But you know what I mean? Like, over fucking not caring about politics anymore. And I can't even begin to explain how much I don't give a fuck. I just can't. I can't. If I spend my time caring about the problems of the world, then I'm riddled with anxiety, dude.
Yep.
And I don't need that in my own life. No. I mean, anybody that says that I'm a fool for taking that into account and then taking this action, which is, okay, fine, I just don't give a fuck
that. I think you should still vote for state stuff and locality.
That's different. That's right. Different. I meant president. I should have refined. I the local stuff, the
constitutional amendments and whatnot.
If anything like that, yes. I'm not vote for the big one. I can't do it anymore, dude. I just don't give a fuck. It doesn't really matter who is in charge of the presidency most of the time. It's really most of the time it's what your local stuff is doing that matters to you most. But when it's stuff like selling off the national parks, I mean, that's got to be something that we as the people have the ability to fucking, should have the ability to boycott.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like,
that is the issue with representative democracy.
Right.
Is that, all right, you've just concentrated who you need to be able to corrupt. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, instead of now having to fool 300 million people or however many adults there are of voting age, probably 180.
But yeah, now you just have to do like 500.
Yeah, you just got to figure out those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And so now they get to make decisions for you. Well, you voted for them. And it's like, yeah, I didn't vote for them to do that.
No. It's really not for them to do that, dude. Anyway, I'm going to
move on. What was your clean with Sylvanus this week?
Well, so this one's a whole... This one's been going on for a while. I flipped out of my apartment management again. And this one actually, it turned out differently.
You guys just need to box out in the courtyard.
Well, it turned out differently. So this time, I got this guy who's supposedly the manager of the whole complex. And he told me, like, this was a 20-minute phone call. I think I talked about this with someone else. I think it was Dawson. It was a 20-minute phone call. And I... You know, it was the first 6 minutes of it. I was fucking livid, like straight up just yelling at this dude. You guys have been fucking me over. You guys have been, there have been fucking cockroaches in my apartment for 6 months. It has been five. They had not sent anybody until I went down there and yelled at them personally. And then they posted some fucking thing on my door saying how if I ever did that again, that they would ban me from being able to go to the front office. They sent
an exterminator?
They did that 5 minutes after I went and yelled at them.
Yeah.
And so it was ridiculous. So finally...
It's like, hey, that worked, but don't do it.
Exactly. Suffer. And so finally, I'm yelling at this dude for like 6 minutes on the phone. And then he says something which is like, look, man, I'm sorry, dude. I got this job like a month and a half ago. I realize there's so much bullshit going on with you. Can you just understand me as a human there? And it just like rewired my fucking thought process. And I was like, all right, dude, that sounds fucking awful. It sounds like the worst fucking thing ever. I'm sorry that I'm being difficult. The rest of the phone call, the rest of the 14 minutes was just like, how can we get this fixed? And so then they sent the exterminator again. I ended up having to like clean up the place because the exterminator like wasn't able to get to a few. I don't know. It was a whole thing. But I then they came by today, and we're gonna end up getting the fucking bugs out of here, is like, dog. I've never had bugs like this. Like, there obviously Texas is a whole different ball game living there because it's like there it's a humid climate. There's
well, you
bugs
get the
everywhere.
You get the one off. You don't get the
you don't
infestations.
Get the infestation though. And like this is a straight up. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous here. So,
dude, I had the German cockroaches in my car.
Bro, yeah.
I don't know if I talked about this before, but it was literally like during the daytime, you couldn't find them. They weren't under the mats. They weren't in the cracks. Like,
yeah.
Impossible. And I would go out there at night and open the door up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they'd be there by the hundreds.
That's the worst.
Covering every single surface on the windows of the car. Like, fucking wild.
That's awful.
And I'm like, where the fuck are they hiding? But yeah, I mean, you get them in an apartment. Where there's just a million cracks under the baseboard and fucking behind the kitchen cabinets.
Yeah. It's not good, man. But it's also, it's whatever. So anyway, we got it all figured out. And I think we're going to be fine with that eventually.
Good.
It's going to take a sec. Yeah, so we're going to get right back into it, and we're going to go right into our topic of the week. It's a pretty complex topic. It comes from an experience that I had. A couple times. Once was about 2 months ago, and once was this last week. Well, once was about 2 months ago, once about a month ago, and once was this last week with the same person. The question that I have written down here is, have you ever looked at someone, maybe someone struggling, someone way down on their luck, and thought, that could be me? Not just in a general way, but almost like spiritually. Like you and that person came from the same place, the same raw material, maybe only separated by geography or luck or time. And maybe you felt that you weren't just connected, but that you are the same person, somehow split into two. What do you think that says about who we are beneath the surface? And I did a little bit of research into this, and I'll go ahead and explain what the experience was. At least a little bit. I won't use any names here.
No.
But I think anybody that knows who we're talking about knows who we're talking about. There was a friend of ours who was kind of shit out of his luck. And a lot of us kind of tried to help him out. And I was one of those people that tried to help him out and put him up for a few days. And I had this thought while he was there that was like, essentially, what if we're the same person, only he is me if I kept making the wrong decisions, if I didn't eventually choose to turn my life like the other direction, and or like I realized it too late? Because, you know, I mean, look, I'll give that kid all the credit that he can get, really, is that he, you know, he would try really hard for a long period of time, but he'd never break through the surface, and he would just fall back down further than where he was at the beginning of that. And
very, very self-destructive habits.
Incredibly self-destructive habits. And so that thought came into my head, and then we had been friends for a while, and then I had this experience with him at the day that we started filming Night Cook. Outside of the bar, where he was just kind of yelling. He was just kind of yelling at like nothing into the abyss type thing. And I came up to him. I was like, yo, man, like, are you good? And he just kept yelling, dude. And I finally told him, like, yo, I was about to go film this movie. I was like, yo, dude, I can't fucking take this on for you. Like, I am about to go film a movie. You have to fucking calm down. Here's some weed. Shut up. And he...
Which is more than necessary.
100%.
Giving him weed to be like, yo, chill out. Here's my drugs.
that's more than necessary. And I could have just walked back inside. But I considered him a friend up until like a little bit later, where at this point we're in the filming process. My actors are sitting outside getting ready to be in a scene, and I'm sitting there with him, like a little, like a couple feet away from him, probably 10 feet away from him, really just kind of watching, like thinking my, just doing whatever I was doing. And he wheels up to him, and yeah, because he's in a wheelchair, and for some reason that I don't really want to go into. And then he just starts talking to him. And it's like, I could tell the look on their faces, which was just like, this, like, you got to understand, like, he just looks like a homeless guy.
Well,
and I mean, like, he is. And yeah. It's like,
I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
No, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but it's just like, that's absolutely
what... He does sleep on the streets.
That's absolutely what's happening. And so it's... And look, I tried to help him out as much as I could, but I gave him a couple nights on my couch. I fed him. I gave him cigarettes. I smoked him out. Like, whatever, dude. Like, and I didn't think anything of it, but it's just like... But then, like, he... This, what happened next was just like... I was like, all right, well, you're out. And he... What happened was he's talking to the actors, and I could tell the actors were uncomfortable. So I just was like, hey man, like, what's up? And he looks at me and goes, oh, you fucking know. Oh, you fucking know what's up. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And he was like, oh, you're going to fucking pretend like you don't fucking know. And I was just like, dog, get the fuck out of here. If you're going to fucking get in the way of my fucking shit, when I fucking come here to fucking film this thing, and you know that I've been working on this for 6 months, and you're going to come in, and the moment that it starts, you're going to try to get in the way of it, you're out. You're banned. Get out.
This would be a good time to provide some clarity to those who aren't aware of the full situation, that the lifestyle choices and drug habits of this individual have seemingly led to the onset of some aspects of paranoid schizophrenia.
Seemingly, and yes.
There's the... Still the connect enough yes, to yeah. Have conversations at times, but there does seem to be a, at the bare minimum, delusionary aspect to the perspective. Not necessarily that there's a million voices or that they're seeing things.
I don't know what's going on.
But just the, like the reactivity and like the starting shit like that, just out of nowhere.
Well, and it was like, it wasn't, for dude, had it just been some random day, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. But it was the fact that it was like, you're going to really get in the way of this right as it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not talking to you anymore, dude. That means you don't give a fuck about what I'm doing. And so why would I give a fuck about what you're doing?
Or you're not capable of giving a fuck.
Right, yeah.
In which case, you got to set boundaries and be like, yo, I can't be around you. You don't respect my work. Well, you're not capable of respecting my work.
So then what happened is I had kind of like, I just stopped talking to him, and then he gets a shower from somebody right before he was supposedly leaving, which I've heard that he's supposedly still in town. And he comes out and fucking, like, he gets back from the shower and he says something about how the shower was to me. And I was like, and I think he said, like, oh, I pulled out way more hair than I did in your shower.
And what?
I was like, okay.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know what that means, dude.
Okay.
And I said that. I was like, what does that even mean? And he was like, you know what it fucking means. I was like, all right, dude. Don't fucking talk to me. You know that you were not fucking cool right now. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, dude, do you not remember what happened? He's like, oh, I fucking remember what happened. And he just, like, went into this whole thing about how, like, he basically told, like, about a sliver of the story. And it was the sliver that made him seem sane. But then I was like, well, what about you outside yelling? He's like, you're a liar. That never happened. Like, straight up, the actual words out of his mouth. You're a liar. That never happened. And I was like, oh, really? So I'm making it up that you were just outside screaming at nothing, and then I didn't give you weed and tell you to shut up. And he said, you're a liar. That never happened. I was like, all right, buddy, like, whatever, dude. And I just ended up sitting there next to him next to Ozzy. Shout out Ozzy.
Shout out the boy Oswald.
Yes. He's sitting next to them, and he's just staring at me the whole time. And I was just finally like, I never acknowledged him again. I just ended up leaving, but it was, I think actually he left. Now that I think about it, he just ended up going and doing some homeless guy shit, walking around with his wheelchair with liquor in the back of it. And it's just like, dude, I have no, I, that's not, I can't, what do you, what makes you think that I want to, again, we all as a whole want to like be around that?
Right. It's brutal.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't mean that in a way
like,
of.
It's brutal because it was like someone that we.
I was going to say, it's not just brutal in the sense of like, oh, wow, it's annoying.
It's like we care about this guy.
And it's a somebody who you've seen the spiral of.
Yeah, and seen him.
You can remember a day when he was competent and there.
And like, honestly, I used to enjoy being around him.
Mm-hmm, same.
Yeah, like I used to genuinely enjoy this guy. And if he is listening, I genuinely used to enjoy you, dude. But like you went way left field, dude.
Yeah.
You're just out there in left field. And anyway, that was what the story of what brought me to this thought. And then
back to the empathy part of this.
Yes. I did some research and I had some philosophical and spiritual views that were potentially parallel to this. One of them was panpsychism. I don't know if you've heard of this one. I'm suggesting that consciousness.
Yeah, I've read it. I'm somewhat aware of the kind of philosophy or ideological bounds of it are, but I've never heard it described with that term.
What have you heard of it described as?
Not in that regard. I don't know what I would classify that as other than I'm trying to think of what it is, like spiritual humanism. I mean, it sounds very much akin to kind of the idea of like Christ consciousness.
Right. Yeah. So what
in that wave.
And what this was described as was suggesting that consciousness is a fundamental feature of the universe present even at the level of particles. This implies that all things and thus all humans are part of a unified field of consciousness. We are both like waves in the same ocean of consciousness, and we are consciousness expressing itself as two people. And I don't think that's really what the one I was going for this particular thing. This was just one that came up with, and I thought it was a cool one to mention. But I think that. I mean, when it was described as we are both waves in the same ocean of consciousness. I mean, that does make an interesting amount of sense, but I don't necessarily know how much I believe that all things are conscious.
Fair.
I don't necessarily believe that. I'm not even sure all humans are conscious, if I'm being real.
I mean, do you say that in a facetious sense?
I mean, I'd say it using, like, the NPC type.
Right, but as in, do you think that they are genuinely not conscious, or that they just have they don't have the introspection to really like materialize all the nuances of consciousness?
So, what about are these people that are supposedly not conscious, are they just reflecting patterns and things that they have?
I don't know. I don't agree.
Okay.
I do think that all living things are conscious. I think that depending on how you want to define consciousness, you can apply it to a lot of things that extend past animalia. But
sure, but what is consciousness then?
Right, that's the question.
Right. Then it's... So it's...
I think at the bare minimum, what I would say is it's having the ability to interact, conceptualize, understand, or view... the external. So it's all living things. It's a lot of plants. Anything with, you know, like sentience is the kind of beginning.
Well, it's what I was getting at.
Usually
with the
defining step into what it means to be conscious. Because like with humans, right, conscious is somebody who's awake. It's somebody who, again, has those perceptive abilities. And then like somebody when they're brain dead... We'd say they're not conscious anymore.
Sure. But I guess I was getting at it more with like with the NPC idea of it is like there are people that seem to just make decisions based on patterns and things that they have been, you know, they don't make a rational decision based on a Well, I don't know. That doesn't seem right. They reflect what other people are doing. They're the mirror.
I don't know. I personally think that's all people. It's just to varying extents. There's a sliding scale there and a gradient of how much somebody is reactive versus active. And I think a lot of it has to do with intellect, and a lot of it has to do with the level of trauma you've grown up with.
But not consciousness.
No.
That's fair.
I think there's a difference between, like, look, this is where, like, it becomes a little weird, is that, you know, science doesn't fully define it. And if we got to be wary of the connection between consciousness and, like, intellectualism.
Right.
That, like, somebody's perceptive or neurological abilities are not necessarily equal to what their consciousness level is.
Does that make sense? That's 100% true, because I didn't watch these, but I definitely did listen to the podcast about them, the telepathy tapes thing.
Is that different levels of consciousness? You both have consciousness, and you just have different levels of intellectual ability and the ability to interact with those things. I mean, personally, I would say you have the same level of consciousness.
I don't know if it's level, but definitely same thing.
So what I'm saying is, like, I don't think it magnifies in that capacity based on
something as simple as a baby's brain waves. There's a quote, an Alan Watts quote I like, that's, you know, the baby is the closest to the origin of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so in that saying, it's like, you know, it may not be the same level of consciousness, but it certainly is the same grasp of the thing. You would assume that someone who's, you know, my age, your age, versus a baby is going to have a more defined hone of consciousness,
yeah,
versus being fresh from what is the origin of life.
Well, again, this is where it's weird, is like, if somebody, you can have somebody who's more, less, or isn't conscious, but is that tantamount to consciousness?
You know, that's funny, because I don't think so.
Because here's the other thing, is like, if somebody goes into a deep dream state,
right, they're not unconscious. Technically conscious, but they're experiencing consciousness.
Right. So it's like, is that, how do you define that? And this is where, like, again, the kind of limits of our both vocabulary and scientific understanding of what that means.
It'd be nice to know other languages.
It'd be sick.
I'm so jealous of Madeline. She fucking speaks. She's born speaking both of them. She was raised speaking both of them.
My Spanish is pretty decent.
Spanish is pretty good.
I gotta keep working it. But I think if I can pick up Spanish, I can pick up Portuguese and French, and probably Italian.
Italian, yeah.
Italian is really easy if you know Spanish.
If you know Spanish, yeah.
87% lexical similarity.
Something like that, yeah. But I'll get into the next one here. We'll probably continue on this same mm-hmm. conversation here. But this was the one that I kind of thought closest, maybe. This was the one I thought the closest. Non-dualism, which is seen in this thing I can't really pronounce.
Advaita Vedanta. I want to believe that's a Hindu text.
I think that is. That sounds like it. And then Zen Buddhism as well. Claiming that the separation between self and others is illusionary, and that we are all expressions of one infinite awareness. You and that person experiencing their lives, whether in suffering or love, is just another version of yourself expressed through a different body. And at least similar to the thought that I had when I was having that first experience with him in my kitchen, as like, is this the same person as me? Because mm-hmm. and also, like, we're not like totally unsimilar looking. Probably the same ethnic background, close to it, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably.
So it's not like uncommon to think like, oh, but like, it was like a full thought of like, is this the same fucking person experiencing life as if they kept making the bad decisions in their life? And so that one was definitely closer to,
I think, to it's a very interesting conceptualization of things. But to me, I guess I would say that I just define consciousness and spirituality as separate concepts. I don't think that they are the same.
Sure.
And to me, that idea of like everybody expressing themselves through different bodies would be the spirituality side of it. Because here's the idea, right?
I think is that's, that like, I think that's develop. I think that, that it, what it is saying though, is that it's, that it, that is, I think they're making them the same thing.
Right. Which I can't do because here's why is that like, all right, to say that, well, you're the same, it's the same person experiencing itself in different, well, then what is the person? What is the same thing? Because to me, the self, there is the separation. There is an attachment to the physical, and the material is our neurological capacity. It is our physical capacities. And like we talked about this on the other episode about freedom and what liberty looks like and what it means to live a freeing life is that that comes from our ability to train our opportunities, right? Like that if you want to be free in body and movement, you have to train the body and movement. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody has that ability. And
well, I think that gets into this next one.
That's where like you have to separate the self from the spirit or the consciousness. And to me, like the way I look at it, I guess, is that consciousness is kind of the shadow cast by the candle, whereas like the spirit is the flame itself. Does that make sense? Like the consciousness is the spark in the brain to some extent.
Sure.
But like the spirit is separate. That is divinity. And I mean, even if we want to take out any idea of spirituality the spirit, from these concepts,
you're right. To put it as the flame, to put it as like a reflection.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of,
and even if we want to take away the separation here, because maybe that analogy doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe the spirit is the wick and the flame is consciousness. I don't know. But if we're going to take it out so we can compare apples to apples and talk about like what Buddhism is and this idea that consciousness is experienced through separate bodies, the idea of saying it's the same thing experiencing itself through is still a creation of identity. And it's like, how do we define the boundaries there? Like, if me and you are the same, that overlooks the fact that we are different and our experiences are different. And it is acknowledging that we have similar source that allows us to maintain an empathy and a gratitude for, like, the fact that, you know, I got good intelligence. I'm lucky. It's not me. And so I shouldn't have an ego about it. Right. Sure. Like I didn't choose to be a high aptitude individual. I got that. And so to take that as like a superiority complex would be silly.
Well, yeah.
But the idea that it's the same person is kind of like the old egg theory. You ever like, you know what I mean? The story of the egg. It's like the guy it dies and goes and it's like, oh, well, you got to live through the lives of every person. And then you go on to the next step. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think Reddit thread with this one.
I'll show it to you sometime, but it's essentially the idea that you have to, before you move on to the next step of whatever consciousness or spirituality, you live the life of every single person throughout history. And that like you are Hitler and that you are Gandhi and that you are MLK. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's a story on Reddit. It's not like a true philosophical belief, but it's sparked a lot of, you know, online interest.
Sure.
Because of this kind of ability to conceptualize what empathy means is that if we're all the same person, then me hating you or treating you indifferently is inherently undermining the entire intention of what consciousness is supposed to be. Right. And I don't think this is the exact same as that, but it is very similar. It carries a lot of similarities because it creates a foundational concept for how we treat everybody and why we have karmic debt. Because if you do wrong to the other, then you're doing wrong to the self. And the only way to heal that is to then grow past it. So every negative action I do to you is to us. Right. And the only way to get back to neutral is to do good and reverse the damage that I caused to, you know what I mean? You get the point.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next
one. Well, we'll get on to the next one here. That's this one seems like it's a Carl Jung collective unconscious theory. This one seems like he probably took this non-dualism and then probably dove into it, at least it seems like that, theorized that all humans share a deep psychic layer of memory and existence that influences us subconsciously, sort of a psychological version of a shared mind. Jung might argue that this person and I are both tapped into the same unconscious structure, like two branches growing from the same root, entangled archetypally. And, you know, again, it's, these are all just theories, especially when you're getting into consciousness and there's no actual concrete mm-hmm. evidence that can ever be really compiled. Although I did just listen to a very strange podcast today that we should, about DMT, that was a whole different thing. But, that one also, it does, that seems more like, that seems more to in tune to what you were saying with the idea of the self and the idea of, that being its own thing. And because it's, you know, it, if it's two branches growing off of the same tree,
mm-hmm.
or two, you know, or root,
there's still a separation.
There's still a separation of them. Yep. One branch could be larger, more. I mean, I have a plant out there, and I just had to, you know, give it some care because it's, it's been, some of its leaves are getting more fucking, food and water than the other ones, right. And it's like. So it's, but you know, and they look different because of that.
I like the analogy a lot. The idea of the kind of shared psychic layer of memory is a peculiar one.
Right. And I think that there might be something to that. And I think, I mean, this has been talked about a bunch of times, but it's the, I mean, when we're kids, the things we fear are like monsters under the bed. And I think that might be, in that particular one, might be a human memory, like a deep, a deeply entangled human imprinted memory. Because it's like, think of, I mean, when we were all sleeping in the jungle or wherever the fuck humans were sleeping in primitive times,
mm-hmm.
the fuck are you looking out for? A fucking big cat, dude. You're looking out for big cats and bears that are going to come and want to steal your food. And then,
well, that's why I don't know the idea of like the shared subconscious memory versus a very similarly hardwired subconscious, which is okay. Like, you know, that all people had this fear of cats. It's why humans distinguish greens so much better than almost any other animal. So we could see through grasses and spot out these animals.
Yeah.
Same way that like they do all these blurred photos. I can't remember who did it. I want to say it was University of Cambridge, but what they did was they took these really blurry photos and then slowly unblurred them. And even when coiled in all these different positions, the first thing that humans could spot consistently at a way higher rate was snakes, because snakes are still one of the deadliest animals to humans. They kill more than the vast. And if you take away like fucking mosquitoes and like disease carrying,
sucks so bad, dude.
You know, you do have. Like, snakes are one of the top predators to us.
Yeah.
So it's things like that that I go, well, is this why we, is it all of these adaptations that we created and in the way that we problem solve and our interests? Because that sociology is able to predict so much of human behavior because we are hardwired very, very similarly. But, you know,
it
raises a lot of questions. It's things like, you know, there's an argument I saw for a while going that, like, ADHD was a survival mechanism that
I don't know how much I believe that, but at the same time, like maybe, I don't know, man.
I don't know
how much I believe that one.
No, because it's like, if it was truly an adaptation, then you'd find it across the board. If that really was,
you're right.
If that did work,
it would
better,
be,
then
it would
that's
be,
what humans would
be. Or at the very
be.
Least more, there'd be a higher end of it that people would be developing.
But the point is that things like that, of these like basic or what we would consider normal psychological processing does create similar experiences.
Right.
And it does create similar effects across societies, and that you see these manifest, like one of the big things I would talk about that, you know, we could talk to Plumpkin Hill Radio about. This is similar to Graham Hancock talks about this, about the shared memory and the shared stories. It's like all these different societies have stories of floods.
Right.
Like all of these different ancient societies had the purse or these pine cones. And there's a similar imagery. And is it that we have this natural adhesion towards the way that we process and deal with things, like pyramids? We go, oh, well, there's pyramids everywhere. Well, it's the easiest structure if you don't have
large
material. So is that why it happened? Or is it this shared subconscious? And defining that and separating it is really, really difficult. And it does require a leap of faith to get to the point of where you're at, like Carl Jung's philosophy, which is that we do have a shared kind of memory and interaction. Yeah. And that is the spiritual level, which is, I think, maybe a little beyond where I
The times I've most felt that way are under psychedelics with people.
Of course.
And
that's another thing I'd bring up is like, is psychedelics in that? Is that tapping into a similar part of the brain and then creating a similar response? Or is it...
It's
hard to say.
The more that I've been thinking about that, the more that I have... And every time I've done psychedelics lately, I think about this, that it's frequency. It's the frequency that you are omitting as a person. Because everything that is alive... It is a natural thing. I mean, I think pretty much anything emits a frequency when it's, at all times.
Resonant frequency.
And if you are emitting a frequency that is not natural to you, not natural to what you are supposed to be authentically emitting, then you're going to attract what's wrong for you. And
the hippies got you, son.
Dog, I've been a hippie since I was fucking 16.
What does that mean?
What?
What does it mean that you attract the things on a frequency level?
You gotta think of it like music, right? Like the music is innately a frequency. It is a frequency. That's how it sounds. It hurts, and it is. You know, when you hear music that you like, you are attracted to that music. And I feel like it's the same type of thing with humans. And when you are emitting a frequency that other people are in tune to, and they're the people that you are also in tune to, when you're emitting the right frequency, that's what occurs, is the people that you're in tune to are attracted to.
I know, but the type of frequency that exists with music is auditory.
What I'm saying.
This is where I start.
All frequencies are to be experienced, though.
Right, but not all are perceptible.
Not all the time. That's where the psychedelics come in.
But how does psychedelics attune you?
Frequency? I feel like is the wrong word, but...
Like, how would that make it more perceptive?
I mean, how? I have no fucking idea. But I do... The more I've been spending time on psychedelics, which is over the past 10 years, God knows how many times... And, you know, that's something I've kind of developed a thought of from that, is that it's like it's, I think that it's based on a frequency that people emit that.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say, because with psychedelics and these types of conversations, it's so much of what I've been around and even my own experience, seems to allude to the idea that a lot of it is very, very fundamentally, good or potentially healing for human beings. Like, we have a lot of studies now with psychedelics and PTSD and drug addiction, and there are very clear results. I've been very happy with the things I've gotten out of it. But I do think a lot of it, too, is like false premonition or...
How so?
Exaggerated introspection. I'm going to use a really dumb example here, but it's like the, you know, getting high like with weed or mushrooms and... Like, is a straw one hole or two hole? Holy fuck.
Well, I think there's a...
And I think there is a very real aspect of psychedelics and drugs that tend to over-exaggerate or exacerbate the importance of things. And it's also like, people talk about this with Amanita a lot, this feeling of premonition that like a few seconds before everything happens, you feel like you're ready and you know what's coming. And is it that you do, or is it that the drugs make you feel like you do? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, this is where it's, because I've known so many people who had very extended and pronounced experiences with psychedelics that talked about how insanely significant it was, and oh my gosh, how much I learned and how interconnected I am.
And when you ask them, they can't
imagine. Right, and they have no idea what, they can't explain it, and they're still pieces of shit.
Yeah,
and it's like, if it was inherently... that potent, would there not be effects Well, and I think it's hard for me to distinguish what is what.
I do think that there are levels to psychedelics in terms of, like, number one, how much you're taking of a low dose psychedelic like cannabis or psilocybin, and number two, what you are doing while you're using these substances. If you're just sitting there mm-hmm. and you're fucking on your phone, or you're at a rave, or you're something, I don't think you're getting anything from that.
No.
I think, but if you're having conversation with people, if you're around people that you love, if you're around, like, because one of the biggest things that I ever got from psychedelics was, like, the intense feeling of being able to love myself.
Fair.
You know, and also others in turn with that. Because I had to like relearn how to love, because I, which is why I spent so much time single, is because I was just like, I felt terrible about the way my last relationship ended. And I was like, I have to fucking learn how to love myself. I did. And then I was like, I'm going to learn how to love others. And we're getting there.
It's a process.
It's a process, dude. It's something that none of this stuff happens overnight. And that's why, that's like what these people that are saying all that, like, well, I don't know what I learned. It's like, well, usually, dude, like, I feel like personally, I've always come, what I learned always came later. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that makes sense. Hold on a second. When I take this back to my psychedelic experience that I had at this time, that makes sense.
Well, that may be some of the, like, neurogenitive aspects of, mm-hmm. like, things like psilocybin.
Sure.
And I just, the point that I'm trying to make here,
psilocybin
is that
has been the least profound.
I just don't know how much of psychedelics are related to the kind of neurological adaptations we make, and these, the rehealing of our synapses, or rather, rehealing of neurons and creating new synapses, and these abilities to work through things differently on an intellectual level versus on the consciousness / spiritual level. Because that distinction is a weird one. That one, we could spend an entire podcast mm-hmm. talking about the nuance there, because every single theological concept is a little bit different on that regard.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, do psychedelics help the thinking part of it? Is it that we're able to think deeper and think better and more profoundly and more introspectively? Is that it? But like we initially started, is consciousness tied to that? Is right. consciousness something that is expands or doesn't, or is it a zeros and ones type of thing? You either have it or you don't.
Right.
And defining that and how much that's intertwined with the intellectual component kind of determines what a lot of what psychedelics may be. And that doesn't even address the spiritual side. But I right. think to kind of bring it back with what this initial conversation started over, which is the, again, like the intertwining, seeing yourself in someone else and whether or not right. we're on different paths. I think all of it, in some way or another, whatever theory you pick, whatever level of legitimacy you decide to associate with any of these variations,
sure,
all of it leads back to the idea that there is some shared element of our humanity. Whether you are purely atheistic and we're all stardust and from ashes to ashes and dust to dust, right? If you have that view, or you're fully religious on the opposite end and you believe everybody's created by God, or you believe we share consciousness or Christ consciousness or a subconscious, whatever it may be, there is 100% shared elements between us and all individuals.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it should be the foundational component for how we evaluate our treatment and view of others. And again, understanding yeah. that, like, our position in the world, the older I get, the more I realize, like, the things I grew up on, like the idea of self-made billionaires, like, it doesn't exist because nobody is fully detached. No. Or the idea of, like, you know, talking shit because I got lucky being tall and I got, you know, my intellect and I talk shit about, he's a fucking idiot. He can't figure it out. And it's yeah. like, well, I'm an idiot for thinking that I somehow chose to be that. I didn't.
Right, yeah, no.
I didn't. I don't have any say in that. And then more and more, I look at, like, the people who, you know, I've gotten very far away, not on the one-to-one level, but on the, from a social perspective, or stepping back and trying to offer humanity to someone, but the pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Where I'm I see someone and I go, if I was in that situation with those parents and I had your mind, Would I have done differently?
Right.
Would my soul in that body change things? Or would I still be stuck in your way of processing and then ended up in that situation?
Sure.
The answer is probably the second one. I'd end up in the same situation.
Right.
Because I'm thinking the same way they do, right? Like, I'm not going to go, oh, well, I think, because the soul, in my view, doesn't think.
Right.
And in any of those variations that we've discussed so far, there is no uniqueness to the thought aspect because there is no separation. And so that's why, you know, I think it's important to look at everybody with a little bit of grace.
Sure.
Because how else do you process? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know how else you...
Through retrospect.
Unless you go into hyper-individualism, and that just seems brutal for everyone involved. Yeah. I don't see any hyper-individualistic individuals that are living happy lives. No. It's all very separated. It's the live and let live, heavy on the ego and identity.
Yep.
Respect my identity, affirm my self-view, and so on and so forth of this is who I want to be, so you have to acknowledge that. Whether it's, you know, your career choices or interests or your choice in music taste, and it's like, it's none of your business. It's fucking, you're just different, that's all. It's taken me a long time to get there to see that.
I mean, that one's one of those ones you continue to learn every day. Mm-hmm. That one's one of the ones that you're like, fuck, I should have remembered that 5 minutes ago. Like, that type of thing, like, yeah,
there's a really good quote I saw the other day, and it was just ranting about hyper-individualism, and it's like, oh, well, I didn't ask for anything, so I don't owe anyone anything. And it was like, maybe you, but not me. For me, I owe the workers at the coffee shop to bring back my dishes. I owe the earth around me that I pick up the trash I see. I owe the butterfly an opportunity to get out through the window. I owe the moth beside me a chance to breathe again.
Sure.
And it's like this idea that in our creation, in our own essence, we are inherently tied to all things and all people. And I don't really care to have any other worldview that doesn't involve that.
Sure.
And anything which separates you to a point that there is nothing owed to the world around you is somebody I really have no interest in attaching myself to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
Which that's is why the very first thing we talked about, that's all it is are you the same exact person? Are you the same exact consciousness? I don't know. Maybe.
Probably not,
but maybe. Maybe you are. Maybe it's the same pool of consciousness. But what does matter is that you're intricately tied enough that you see where you could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And you use that perspective to offer a little bit of empathy.
Right. I mean, I think, I don't know if empathy was the right word of what I used. Because I could have been, I mean, I did at the time, at the beginning, help him out.
Mm-hmm.
But then it became
compassion.
I cannot let you hold me back.
No, we're not God.
No.
Like, we still have to have boundaries.
Sure.
This is a thing I talked to, shout out my boy Dante, love him. But we had a long conversation about this, about how, like, you know, the idea of, like, being Christ-like is to walk through the world offering a helping hand to all individuals, and that the things you don't like and the people who you think are living in a way that is not aligned with what is morally right or virtuous, that you spend time with those people and you love those people extra. You're
to go to those people. That's what all those letters to Paul
and,
are.
And then you spend more and more time with those individuals. And you live life in a gospel.
That's how all the apostles died.
Bingo. And you spend your life doing that. The difference, though, is that we're human. And so we can't do that too much because we will succumb to the environment,
sure.
Right? That we have to set boundaries. We do have to keep an arm's reach for some people.
Sure.
And with our friend, I think that the reality is that's kind of where he's at, is that we can see that and go, you know what? That could have been me.
Yeah.
And so I wish you the absolute best, and I love you, and I hope you find what fits you in this world. But for
it
me,
can't be me,
this isn't...
But it can't be me from here at this point.
Your presence doesn't align with that for myself, and sure. I want that for me too, right? I want what fits me in this world. And you're not that right now. You're harmful to me. So I got to keep distance.
Right.
And, I mean, it's the essence of all breakups. It's why I always say I love every one of my exes. I truly love them. I hope that all of them find what's good for them. I hope that the things they did wrong, they realize and they work through it. And I hope the things that were wrong to them, that they forgive and they're able to move past.
Sure.
And I hope they become the best. My first ex, when she got married, dog, it was one of the happiest days of my life. I was like, finally, she fucking figured it out.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I was like, holy shit, I don't have to worry about this chick anymore.
Yeah.
But that is all people. That's not just our love interests, you know? That is the part of Christ consciousness that I find to be most valuable to our daily lives. It's a very, very crucial aspect to how we treat people.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to the next one here. And I think I'm honestly going to go on to this this one that I really liked. This one, the one that's written down here, is simulation theory.
I feel like read the quantum entanglement before that.
Okay, I'll read
quantum entanglement. Because it's very cool.
Okay. The quantum entanglement and consciousness, a fringe idea that suggests human minds might be subtly entangled or non-locally connected, even though there is zero hard evidence for this and no clear mechanism, is what it says. But yeah, that is, I mean, that kind of even goes into what the next one says.
That's why I wanted to bring up some of the scientific aspect of it.
And which the simulation theory one, it says, if we are avatars in a simulation, maybe you and this other person are different characters controlled by the same player, or two subroutines of the same process. Your paths intersect because they're meant to, written by the same author. And that one clicked in my head when I read it, because it was like, you know, what I was able to take away from the experience of, like, that could have been me. And, you know, and the way that it felt when I was feeling that way, in retrospect, not really at the moment. In the moment, it was a pretty jarring theory. But as in retrospect, it's in hindsight here, it's been kind of like, when I read that, the simulation part, it was, damn, that might be the case. Because what I was able to take away from it was like, dude, you got to keep doing what you're doing. You cannot slip up and go, like, I've had quite a few. Hitting 2 years off alcohol was leading up to that was like, there were many days where I was like, fuck it, I should just go drink. Not even nothing was negative happening other than just like the fucking, like the approaching date of like having 2 years.
I can respect. I just don't. I no, I'm lying. I don't respect that one. I don't like that theory at all.
Which one?
The simulation theory.
Fair enough.
Because here's why.
It's just as a writer.
Is if you choose to drink now,
right?
Break your sobriety. Well, that's what you're meant to do. And the thing I don't like about the simulation theory is it abstains any sort of necessity for morality. That, like, you doing right or wrong is indifferent because the author is the one who chose for you to do that. It's this, like, concept of fate that, like, if it is a simulation that we're avatars being controlled, well, then you drinking tomorrow isn't your choice. It's the avatar that's controlling you. And me telling you this as an avatar.
I do get where you're going with that.
Obviously, I just believe that you think it's legitimately a dude on a controller type, but there is an underlying aspect of that simulation theory that I think, again, it diminishes free will to a point of, again, absolving us of personal responsibility.
Yeah, and I think if you're using shit like that to absolve you of personal responsibility, then that's on you. You're fucking not a good person.
The author wrote him to do that.
Yeah, but that's a cop out.
I know. You see what I'm saying?
What you're saying exactly. But it's like to use that as a, without concrete evidence of the fact that this is a simulation, you can't just go ahead. That'd be like saying, "Oh, the elves made me do it."
I know, but that's why I say, I
get exactly what you're saying.
Well, I have so much resistance to it because
I'm just
like,
saying the only reason that I like it is because my background is a writer. I'm not actually thinking that there's someone. My belief on what the artist is the person that created the mechanism and then press play.
I think it's a cool idea to think about the, again, collective or Christ consciousness.
Sure.
In this notion that by taking part, that in and of it, our presence itself, that we become the author, that we are actively writing our own story, and not just metaphor, but that our decisions shape all things, and similar to the butterfly effect, that everything that we do, and maybe this is a frequency thing as well, that it is kind of transmitting out towards the future of all things by our actions, and that we can kind of transmutate the negative things which exist and change that aspect of the story and kind of erase some of the
I think that's negative proclivities that have been set before us. Truly aligned for.
Right.
Because that is that I think, and that kind of goes into a mix of the
consciousness, spirituality, and intellectualism.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, because I mean, in that instance, I'm trying to think of how I would set up this analogy, but like, for sure, the ways in which we train our mind and our principles and our self discipline and our value systems. These become the tools, the pen, the eraser, the paper,
right?
That becomes how we are able to change the story, and that unless we do that, then we have no say in how we can,
right?
We're subject to the reactivity, as we talked about at the beginning,
right?
Now, what the lead in the pencil is, the rest of that analogy, I have to take some time to put together, but we'll for sure,
it's a good analogy.
It does create an agency in our decision to become an active part of it. And it's one of the issues I have with, it's one of the big reasons I walked away from like Christianity as a religion. Yep. Because I'm like, well, if God creates everything and God is responsible for everything and God knows the outcomes to everything, then how am I responsible for anything that happens?
Yeah.
How are you going to blame me and punish me when you created me knowing what the outcome would be? You're all knowing.
Yeah,
you knew the outcome. All knowing doesn't mean that you're unsure of what's going to happen next. Yeah. It means you're omniscient.
Right.
And so it's like, all right, well, how can I possibly be responsible for you creating a world, knowing the blueprint, knowing the outcomes, creating it anyways, and then saying, oh, well, it's your fault.
Yeah.
How's that free will?
You're right.
I did have the free will individually to make the choice, but you knew I was going to make the choice and you let me do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It pushed me too far away because I was like, all right, well, that doesn't really make much sense in the idea that we have personal responsibility for these things.
Yeah, and I don't think that's how that is.
If I had a kid knowing that he was going to go shoot somebody, even if I didn't make him do it, but I have that kid and then I go, oh, I'm going to, you know what I mean, punish you for eternity for shooting that person. It's like, is it not my responsibility for creating him anyways? How's it his fault?
Wasn't there that whole fucking thing with one of those shooters a few years back that was like the parents knew?
But there was a dad, that got charged.
I think it was the mom and the dad.
There was one video I saw where the police went to his house and said, you know, your kid made all these threats to kill somebody and da-da-da-da-da, and the dad still gave him access to the gun. And then you went and shot a bunch of people, and then the dad got charged with second-degree homicide. Good.
Fuck you, dude.
But yeah, as you should.
You can't fucking do that. Anyway, let's get out of the heavy talk here. We're gonna get on to our last two little segments here. We have a new segment here that we're gonna go kind of. I think we're gonna do this probably weekly with maybe not just this one, but any sport that is going on. We're gonna have our baseball talk here. Just a brief little notes that I had written down in the past week. First of all, I'd like to mention the Giants won today, for anyone that cares. We had been pretty brutally sucking for the past while. And then today we won. And Rafael Devers was at first base for his first game in his career. And we won 9-0, so that's nice.
Who the fuck is Rafael Devers?
He was the Boston Red Sox third baseman that was replaced by Alex Bregman when they acquired him. And then he was moved to DH, and then they wanted him to move to first base, and he straight up said, fuck you, I'm not doing that. And they traded him to the Giants, and now he's playing first base for the Giants. So, hell yeah. As of today, I don't know how it is as of time recording, really, the Milwaukee Brewers and the Detroit Tigers are the best teams in baseball.
You know, I love the Milwaukee Brewers.
They are...
I didn't watch baseball. I never watched baseball, but I had baseball cards, and I just love the Brewers for some reason.
They swept the Dodgers, and I think they've won 11 in a row.
What happened to the Phillies? Weren't they doing really
good?
They're
like right behind. They're real close. They're okay. And then...
this guy with Phillies, baby. Come on. Come on!
The Chicago Cubs are one game behind the Brewers. Best run differential at plus 115. The Rockies is what I'm going to get into here. local sports.
Do they have a chant?
The Rockies?
Mm-hmm.
No. What does that mean? I mean, it's Major League Baseball.
I don't know. Like in Major Tampa's baseball. Got like Tampa Bay. And then there's like the E-A-G-L-E-S.
Oh, I think it's probably just Let's Go Rockies. Let's Go Rockies.
That's what was playing in my mind. And I was like, that it's got to be something else there. It sucks.
Anyway, the Rockies at the moment, at the 100-game mark, which is after today, I believe they won today. Boo. I'm pretty sure the Rockies won. But at the 100-game mark, which was as of yesterday, they were 24-76, 24% wins. And if they keep that... Oh, yes. Yay, 24% wins. Anyway, if they keep that up, which they have been better in the second half so far.
I hate that.
If they keep it up, they will finish with 38 or 39 wins, which will be good enough, bad enough, for the worst team in the history of baseball, which is 40 wins.
That's what we're hoping for. I want
we are, everybody here in Denver, if anyone is not here in Denver listening to this, we are all hoping here that the Rockies are the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
We're all pulling for them. They have a minus, so I had said, by the way, the Cubs have the league's best run differential at plus 115. The Rockies have the league's worst run differential at minus. You want to take a guess?
I just read it.
Okay. 257. I'm going to say that again. Minus 257.
That's over 100 games?
Over 100 games. They've scored. They have scored 257 less runs than they've given up. That's not good.
So they won a game 24 times. So then of the remaining, I'm just going to add that. 271. No, 281. And then divide that over 76.
I wish I had the Jeopardy.
So they, on average, their losses are by at least 4 runs a game.
I would say that, yeah. I say that if you can find a bet, it'll pay out anywhere near under, you know, literally like minus like 1.5 type thing. If you can get minus 150 on this bet for the Rockies to give up 5 runs, take that bet every time. All of their pitchers are ERA over 5 or 6.
Damn.
All of them.
That's pretty horrible, isn't
it? It's the worst.
A good is like a 2.
Yeah, so Paul Skenes is coming to pitch on August 2nd here, and he's got a 1.98 or something, 1.91 or something.
What's the Asian dude?
Which one? There are a few.
There's the Asian
dude. Oh, Shohei.
Yeah, that guy.
Shohei's a beast. He's probably mid-2s.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what he's at now because he just started pitching again for the season. I think he might be even at a 0 because he hasn't.
Is Paul Skenes a top 5 pitcher in the MLB?
Top, like... Like, I mean, the way that, dog, the way he's looking, like, the way his fastball
looks. Rookie or second year?
Second year. But the way his fastball looks, I mean, so you got to, like, keep into account of just based on what he does at the time of his career. And there's, like, 4 people all time. I don't even know if it's that many that have been elected to the All-Star game their first 2 seasons. And as a pitcher that have, and so, no one checked me on that. As a pitcher, I think he was elected to start the All-Star game last year, and he was elected to start the All-Star game this year. His only 2 selections, first 2 seasons in the majors. That's crazy. That's unheard of.
I got to imagine, aside from injuries, that baseball has a better transfer from collegiate to pros than, like, MLB
lately, yes.
Or basketball.
Lately, yes.
Because, like, there's not as many variables with the actual people.
It's just about how much they love the game. Right. Talent is pretty much widespread. I was hearing someone talk about this the other day. It's pretty much, if there are a lot of people that are talented, but not everybody loves the game, and like that's usually what dictates how people's success is. But yeah, I'm going to the Rocks game Wednesday, and then like I said, we'll see what happens here. We may be taking a podcast escapade over to Coors Field to see Paul Skenes and the Pirates play.
We can't go in the 2nd. First.
What?
Can't go in the first.
He's not pitching.
That's right. They take like a few days off.
Yeah, it's every fifth day usually. But yeah. So that's our baseball talk for the week here. And so we'll get into our last little segment here. Going in our song of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have yours available?
Yes.
Would you like to start?
Yes. I was going to use a song from Buffalo Traffic Jam because they're sick.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go with this other little, like, brand new, tiny little country artist I've been listening to lately. It's a little more pop country. I don't think it's really your type. But his name's Jackson Lee, and he's got a song called All Right. It's fantastic. It's exactly why I love country music. It's like the very much, I got to go to work, and it sucks, but I drink, and it's cool. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I don't like about country music.
That's what I like. I like the...
I love country music.
Life is life, and I'm going to keep on getting by and make time for... You know what I mean? But he's got a couple good lines in here that I really liked. It's a funny feeling knowing everything will be all right. Tomorrow morning, it'll be the same old story. Bright and early. Hit the snooze or hit the stop on the clock. Run low, find a pump, fill her up to the top. And he goes on, you know, about just the daily stressors of life. And then it goes back to like, it's funny knowing everything's going to be all right. And I like it. I like the fucking bullshitty, just getting through, live a blue collar life and have as much fun as you can in the meantime, you know, enjoy it.
Well, mine is, and this is not just a cop out one here. I've been listening to this song quite a bit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no. Old 99 by Bear Hat, who we did just have frontman Charlie White on a few weeks ago. They released that single the day after that episode was recorded. And it's a fucking jam, dude. It's a great song. Those guys really, like, really know what they're doing, and they've got a fucking cool, an interesting take on bluegrass. Because it is definitely bluegrass. It's definitely sort of some kind of, you know, folk style stuff, but they've got this flute in there, and the flute adds just, it's something different.
That's I don't think I've heard much bluegrass that has that.
I would go as far as saying none. But yeah, so Charlie's the man. Shout out Charlie. We're stoked to have you on, and then we're stoked to have you creating music, because it's pretty good, man. But that is pretty much it for this episode. We appreciate you guys sticking around for this long if you have. If not, I can say things like that I want to say now. I'm not going to say that.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. Send us any more questions you got on the Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast Podcast.
And then at gmail.com is the email at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com.
Send us more questions. We're starting to run out here soon.
We need questions. We need people's questions. We need people to bring things up to us.
Uh-huh. And we are going to try and get back onto the trauma battle episodes. Please reach out again if you've had interest in the past and are available in the next few weeks.
Indeed. And I think the only thing else I got to... Oh, yes. I dropped a bunch of stickers on the Etsy store, which I will link in the description to the episode. It's on the Crucible Media Etsy store. You can buy such stickers as I smoked pot in Denver. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Nice.
Yep. It's one of the hits. You can also buy such stickers as I waterboard my haters. That's one of my personal favorites. Or I smoked crack with Charlie Sheen. That one will be here tomorrow.
Is that one of them?
That's definitely one of them.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I figure I'm trying to get a cease and desist. You saw the Broncos one too.
Yeah, that I was thinking about that.
It does not have the logo on it. It has what could be, but if you look deep into it, it doesn't say that. It says, like, JFL or something. Straight up. Loophole. But if I get a cease and desist, then that's fucking sick.
That would be sick.
Dude, cease and desist from the NFL? Hell yeah, dude. Well, anyway, that's enough. That's we did pretty good. Made it to an hour and a half. All right, everybody.
It's our longest episode yet.
It isn't our longest episode yet.
Thanks for listening, motherfuckers.
Have a great rest of your weeks or whatever. Bye.